Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. Today I am sharing a piece that I wrote about 2 years ago when our eldest daughter, Alexis, decided to move across the world and start a journey of her own. It was so complex. I mean, we were excited, and also it was our first child moving out of the house, so it felt like a massive shift in relationships and learning how to be a parent to a child abroad. There's just so many feelings, but ultimately we were excited, and I felt really, really stuck in how to express that because my actions did not align with how I felt in my heart. And so it took some time to process that and to kind of find my own understanding as what it feels like to truly let go and let her fly. So I've held on to this piece for a couple years and decided that it was fitting to release now as she is embarking on marriage in the next 2 weeks. And last week we actually, her and I chatted on the podcast episode 64, where she talked about just like the journey of creating her own life and what it was like to trust herself. So I felt like this was the perfect continuation of that. Although I questioned on whether or not I would release this piece that I wrote, it feels very raw and vulnerable, and maybe some of you won't get it, but it is part of my journey and how I found the best way to let go and to release and to really celebrate her in this new part of her story. And to also enjoy the part of my story where it's shifting and changing. And it doesn't mean it's not as good. It just means it's different. So thank you so much for being here, for joining me on the Naked Podcast. I am always grateful for everybody who tunes in and joins from wherever you are in the world. I hope that you have a beautiful day. Thanks for being here.
Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. This is Janelle. And today's episode is a little different. There are no guests. It's just me and something I wrote. I haven't always written. It's something I kind of stumbled into a few years ago without really knowing the why behind it. But over time, it became really clear that writing is where I find clarity, healing, and perspective. I've been writing quietly for years now, and for the first time, I'm starting to share it publicly, starting with you. I'm honestly so excited, but equally as scared, to let these pieces live outside of my notebook. It feels extremely vulnerable and raw. I want to thank you for being here and for listening. This is a giant leap for me. If something I share speaks to you, I would love to know more about it. Or if maybe you know someone who might need to hear this, just pass it along. Thanks again.
I was lying on the grass the other day. It's such a rarity that I had to jot it down in my journal. I don't often notice what's moving above me. I like to think that I see nature and really take it in, but I think it stops at about mid-tree height. My eyes rarely take me to the clouds. But on this day, as I laid with my back on the earth, there was only one view. Wisps of white smeared across the light blue sky. I watched the smears move into clumps. Together they folded in and out of each other, creating new shapes, constantly shifting into their newest form and then into another. I got lost in the slow, mesmerizing movements. It reminded me of the channels on YouTube where colorful shapes move in and out of each other, mimicking a psychedelic experience. A calming, alluring feeling, maybe similar to the snake in Jungle Book, although not so calming, but definitely alluring, with his eyes swirling in colors, drawing the boy in. It pulled me in so deeply that the sounds around me became muffled by the silent white symphony floating above me. Have you ever wondered how thousands of gallons are just hanging above us? Like, how magical is that? I've never even thought about that. But what if all of this is magic? God's bursts of colors that become our norm because it's always happening. Everything beaming, birthing. The beauty that often goes unnoticed. Sat there thinking, God, the world is breathing. Wow. If it's possible to feel the levitating realms through sight, I was most definitely there. The longer I watched, the more it felt like a place I'd visited once before. Though this experience wasn't fully transformative like sipping mushrooms, although somewhere in me understands that anytime we sip on nature, whether it be breathing her in, seeing her, or drinking her, she will change us. I just never given her the time like I did when Greg and I slipped away for a one-night escape to an early 1900s really cool eclectic loft. This is where melting crayons stretched into dancing ribbons. A kaleidoscope of colors moved around me until they moved in me, splashing the gray corners with gooey, smooth colors, bursting out of my belly, spewing gold fiery bits like dancing fairies. A space where my fingertips tingled, my body felt one with the sofa. Now I know what you're thinking. This sounds kind of weird, and this is normally where I would tap out of a story, because it sounds like some sort of wacky shit that would make me feel so uncomfortable. But let me tell you, the room was me, all of me expanding far beyond me, but still very much in me. My legs ached with fear. Trying to hold back, I ran back and forth to the toilet, trying to wake me. But she had already grabbed my attention. By that I mean nature. The little white stems with big hats that sprout from the ground had my full attention. Perhaps God in the truest form. Me and him or her and them, we were all there bathing in colors I had never seen or felt before. Who knew colors had feeling? Not me. Not until then. It kind of only makes sense, though, because if God did make all that we see, touch, taste, and hear, a presence that is so clearly enamored with the endless variations of color. I mean, just think of the one we call green. There are no limits to the tints that sort out green. I think that was the intention all along. Color was meant to be felt. Occasionally, I look at the sunset long enough to feel something, not sure what it is, but something there wants to hold me just a little longer. I think the world would be gray if color didn't matter, if it wasn't meant to be felt, to take us somewhere. So that lofty night, God grabbed my attention, splashing the room in moving colors. Like a trailing toddler chasing a butterfly, I followed and followed and followed until my bladder felt like it would burst, just as it feels before I reach the highest part of me, and not a squirt, but a gush explodes out of me. The release. My body wanting to let go of something, but the fear in me, the not knowing, had me gripping tightly to the real world around me, until I was yet again met with more colors leading me to the back of my heart, where much hides in the comfy shadows, safe where no one sees it, not even me, until it unexpectedly showed up in a shade I didn't see coming. Usually I can chase the uncomfortable with a smile or something goofy, sweep it to the behind the curtains, but not on this day. My frequent runs to the bathroom in hopes to wake, I slapped my face, ran cold water over my face, tried to release the hankering urge to pee, but only a drop or two hit the water, until there was nothing. Completely empty, but still the panicky urge was there. She let me dance back and forth, but once she had my attention, she wasn't letting go. It felt like I was waking from a dream, or at least trying to, but every time I went back to the couch, I was exactly where I left off, fully submersed. The built-up pressure I was looking to release, looking for another way out, not in the way I knew how, though. It continued to build until I followed her far enough into the deep that I could see all the gray trying to snuff out every bit of light in me. That's when I could see what this was all about. You see, for me, I've held tightly to my dearest friend who would go into any battle with me. She would even go for me if needed. She saw me like no child should see her mother. A child until one day she wasn't. She no longer could be. She held onto fairies and Barbies as long as she could. And then the page turned. She saw behind the scenes, and I was okay with that. I needed to be seen, even if it was by eyes far too young. And she was looking, so she got invited into my violent world, holding me, trying to keep me here, little arms, my lifeline. When I hear my friends talk about sitting in the dark, I often wonder why they don't sit on the couch for 3 months with the blinds closed and shut off the world. But I see now that in order to do that, someone needs to step in and make the world spin in some kind of order. She did that. Her 10-year-old self became what I couldn't be. A bond was built, an unbreakable trust. As I climbed out of the dust, she came with me to yoga, to grocery stores, we painted walls, we bought and moved furniture, we cleaned the house, planted flowers, purged the crawl space one more time, created chore charts, cooked and kept the kids in order, planned school projects. She was no longer one of the kids. She was my friend. And we were one in the same, like-minded badass girls that could tackle any project. She was in my pocket and I in hers. Where I was, she was also, even if it was just a listening ear. She joked that she would be the last one to move out, and I was 100% okay with that. It meant we had lots of time to remain as each other's person. And then it all changed. I will never forget my quiet morning. I sat in Mango, a rundown restaurant that's only open for shitty burgers once or twice a week, with a handful or less of weekly customers. I think most of them came for the beers instead of the burgers. Anywho, they were never open in the morning, so I walked 100 steps from our jungle hut roof home and sat there listening to the wildlife swing above me. We only lived there for a couple days, so the sounds of nature were new to me. It was only monkeys and birds talking until I heard a whisper loud enough in my body that I looked around to see if someone was there. What was that? Questioning the voice, I couldn't have heard that right. It whispered again. Lexi will stay here for a man. My brows furrowed. That cannot be right. I could not have heard that right. But the words soaked into my belly like a sloppy wet sponge. I tried to brush it off and definitely didn't tell anyone. But I watched every man that came close to our family. She never wanted anything but friends, and she was very clear about that in her Lexi way. She was outward about the fact that she wasn't looking for anyone. Plus, she planned on living with us until all the other kids had moved out. So my radar went way down. When guys reach out to her, it never felt like it would become something because she was determined to stay. The morning in Mangoes was so far removed from my mind that when she did fall in love, I didn't see it. I was convinced that even if she did like someone, she wouldn't choose to stay if we moved. No way. That I knew for sure. Until the moment we sat on my bed, tears streaming down her face, trying to be the strong friend she's always been for me. She said, "Mom, I don't know what to do. I've just started my bakery." But I knew in my mom heart that love had seeped into her heart. All of my confidence that we had so much time shriveled, knowing that our time together under one roof was coming to a rapid end. A churning from my belly to my throat burned, wanting to explode from my mouth, swallowing repeatedly while trying to find the right words to say to my girl. I know leaving. I know it too well. I know how words said or unsaid can be alienating. Many times I left a room feeling lonely, when all I wanted was some kind of love, some kind of reassurance that I wasn't completely crazy. Someone to see me, to get excited for me no matter how wild and abnormal the adventure might be. Mostly, I wanted that someone to be my mom. So now here I am with an opportunity to give what I so desperately wanted, but now in the moment, I don't know how to give what she needs the most. So of course, she came around less, feeling like I was losing her even faster than I expected. I knew why. I'd felt it too. The longing and deep desperation for our reality to not be real life. I saw this look in my own mom's eyes. Yet my entire life, she knew I would live far and wide from her, and she never knew how to tell me. Now I know and I understand why. I tried to climb out of the deep sorrow and stop wiping my tears. But it didn't seem to matter how many walks I took, how many times I recorded myself telling myself what I need to hear, trying to shake myself out of the deep sadness that we had something beautiful between us and now it was changing. I tried talking to myself using encouraging soft words and then harsh, abrasive words, in hopes that the next conversation I had with her, I could show her that my heart really was excited for her. I really was happy she found love. More than all the sadness of her not being in my pocket and I in hers, I was genuinely delighted because I knew she had found the one. I had known she'd find him here, but I couldn't bring myself to tell her. I think part of me was afraid that if I did and something went wrong, that she would feel a different kind of pressure to stay. I'm not sure if that's fully true or if that's the real reason, but it's what feels true in this moment. I tried to be strong when she walked away with her cute outfit and black backpack. Somehow it felt like I'd been here before, remembering the feeling of watching her walk into kindergarten for the first time. Only instead of it being 6 hours, it would be 6 months until I'd smell her hair, touch her skin, wrap my arms around her, sing silly songs with her, and sip one of her delicious concoctions. Both times I sat in the car, exploding with what felt like endless tears. As we rolled away from the airport and she lifted off into a life filled with many unknowns, I cried myself to sleep, wondering, how is she doing? Is anyone there when she's buckled over in monthly pains? Is she making time to eat or repeating patterns that I've shown her? Is she lonely? Does she miss me? Or does she maybe just feel free? So much of me wanted to know. I think the hardest part of this whole thing was realizing we were the best pals that did everything together, but I felt like I knew so little about her. Instead of knowing her, she knew so much about me. I thought of it as sharing what I often felt was too heavy for me to hold on my own, which left little room for her to share much of her inner thoughts and feelings. Sure, we laughed and talked and we went everywhere together, but she had learned to hold onto hers because she could see and most often hear that I was holding so much for everyone else. I questioned myself, is she just an internal processor? Is that why she's quiet? Either way, this shattered my heart. How did I not see this? I have learned that there is so much perspective that comes with time. I never realized how my 22-year-old self had grown into being a mom. My mind often highlighting the moments when I got it right. The occasional embarrassments I had burst out in an unexpected character and slung a yell that made my kids' eyes water. But the shadows? Those I never realized. Not until I sat in the loft, chasing the colors beyond the panicking urge to leave and reach the parts of my heart that I had never visited. Only then I saw how I hung much of my fulfillment and joy on the backs of my kids. Like they gave me a reason to exist, a reason to wake up. They were the warm cup of tea to my soul, especially Lexi, because I let her see parts of me that no one else ever knew. There is no parenting book that strips it down to the bare bones, the ache of becoming, the steep learning curve of providing for a little human that mostly cries when they're not sleeping, the nightmares, the mental battles that beat the backs of their brains, conversations about sexual pleasure and how their interests explore when they feel a sudden tingle pop out of nowhere. In all of this, there's a mom trying to figure out what to talk about, what's too much and what's not enough. How to reach for them when all they used to do was effortlessly reach for you. No one tells you when your dewy baby lays on your breast for the first time that likely every demon you fought, they will fight too. And if not the same, they will have their own. They will learn how to laugh, cry, lie, cheat, give, love. They will know shame and guilt as well as joy and freedom. They will tell you everything and also have a million secrets. They will look in the mirror questioning their beauty. They will know they are smart until one day they wonder if they have anything to offer the world. You will feel hopelessly optimistic as you step into realms you know nothing about. And one day, whether you are ready or not, you will need to open your hands and watch them fly, hoping that your ceiling will be their floor. All of this, I am grateful. I never knew before I felt dewy skin pressed against me for the first time. Because I would have felt so unprepared, certain I couldn't handle turning pages with a new chapter on every line. I think that's why we enter parenting with only one angled perspective, allowing life to teach us, allowing nature to show us the birth, death, growth, and beauty. Sometimes we gain insight, unexpectedly seeing the gray that's clouding our view. I will never forget how my body cried that evening in the loft. I felt it in the roots of my hair, in my cuticles, the end of my chin, the backs of my heels, behind my knees, the tips of my ears. All of me was sobbing as I let go of my girl. Yanking the cord that never fully detached, I had to choose if I was going to hold on, wishing every day that she was with me, allowing grief to cover me in shades of gray, or truly let go and stand on my own knowing that she is exactly where she should be. I imagine this might be the first of many healing sips. Now, every time I feel parts of me tiptoeing into the shadows, I know where to find them. to dig them out and hopefully have the courage to let them go. Knowing that this is freedom. This is where life is beautifully and colorfully full.
I want to thank you so much for being here, for taking the time to listen to The Naked Podcast. It honestly means so much. If there's something in the episode that has moved you, share it with someone who might need to hear it too. And if you haven't already, give us a follow and leave a review. It helps so much to keep the momentum and keep the show growing. For more conversations, reflections, and ways to stay connected, check out the link in the show notes. Until next time. If you'd like to connect with us or possibly share your story, please contact us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. That's nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Thanks so much.
A thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the one behind every podcast. He does all the producing and editing and makes the show happen. If it wasn't for him, all of these would be stuck in my computer and you would not get a chance to hear them. So I am forever grateful for his help and partnership in The Naked Podcast.